Well, that was a great reminder of what today is. 10 years ago today was the attack on the World Trade Centers, on the Pentagon. Flight 93 went down. It's a day that we will remember forever. I remember where I was, and I'm sure many of you remember where you were. I think I was still in bed when the first plane hit the first tower, but I had to work that morning, and so I was getting ready for work and flipped on the TV, and I think it was on just about every channel, and they just played it over and over again. And actually, as they were replaying it, the second plane hit, and I thought, again, it was a replay, and then they said, this is actually second plane hitting the tower, and really just changed the overall theme and feeling and just life in general. From that day forward, even and still into today. In the midst of our remembering, I want to focus on a text from Matthew today, Matthew 18. This text talks about forgiveness, and I think it's a great topic. I mean, we're 10 years removed from this tragic day, and we need to see what Christ says about how we should handle situations like this. I'm just going to summarize it for you today. Peter approaches Jesus and asks for in exasperation, perhaps. When I read this, I like to think of like when my kids are arguing about a certain topic, and I feel like Peter's like running up to Jesus, and he's just like, Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive someone? And I'm sure you've probably heard that tone from your kids before. You know, one of them wants to know who's right, and so they come up to you and, you know, Mom, Chasley said this. Is this right? So I feel like this is kind of how Peter is approaching Jesus. And he thinks he's going to have a good answer. He says, how about seven times? You know, seven being the number of creation, perfection. Peter's probably thinking, that's going to show how forgiving I can be if I forgive someone seven times. So he says, Jesus, how many times must I forgive? He tosses out the number seven. And Jesus replies, nice try, Peter. Try 70 times seven. Now, if you've done the math before, which I did, that's 490 times, at least. And then Jesus tells the parable of the kingdom of heaven, saying it's like this. A king wanted to settle his debts, and he called forward a slave who owed him 10,000 talents, which is about 20 years' wages. So imagine owing someone 20 years' worth of wages. The slave couldn't pay, so the king prepared to sell the slave and his family and all their possessions in order to make the payment. But the slave begged for mercy and patience, promising to pay. And the king had mercy on him and canceled his entire debt, and then released the slave. But later, that same slave encountered a peer who owed him a small sum of money, 100 denarii, about a day's wages. So he owed the king 20 years' worth of day's wages, and this other slave only owed him 1 day's worth of wages. So he violently demanded the payment from his peer, who couldn't pay, and also begged for mercy. But the slave denies him mercy, has him thrown in prison. When the king finds out about it, he calls the slave before him and said, how could you not show mercy on your fellow slave, as I showed mercy on you? So finally the king hands that slave over to the authorities and requires payment for the debt. And Jesus ends this parable by saying, that is how it will be with us if we do not forgive one another. Now, the reason that I wanted to use a parable of Jesus this morning, because there's many other areas that the Bible talks about forgiveness, but in my master's studies, I'm reading a book called Getting to Know the God That Jesus Knew. And this book talks about how we have absolutely no willpower. There's really no such thing as willpower. Did you know that? I didn't know that. This was news to me. Willpower is kind of a made-up thing, because the will of man, actually responds to outside influences. We can't will anything. So with the theme of forgiveness, we can't will ourselves to forgive people that hurt us. It's only through the grace of God. And so this book also talks about replacing our narratives with the narratives of Christ. And so that's a process that I'm learning to go through, and it's really challenging and humbling, but it's also a blessing. Because we grow up being influenced by the things that happen in our lives, by narratives. We see how our parents reacted to certain situations. We see how friends reacted to certain situations. And in the theme of 9/11, we see how a nation reacted to certain situations. And so to replace those narratives of humans, not perfect, fallen creatures, sinful beings, with the narratives of Christ, perfection. Christ lived a life as an example of how we should live. And the things that he teaches us in Scripture are the narratives that we should turn to when it's time to make decisions in our lives. It has nothing to do with willpower. It has to do with whatever you pour into yourself, that's what's going to come out when things happen. So the question of human forgiveness leads us to the theme of God's forgiveness. Can God forgive us? Does God forgive all sins from all sinners? What are the conditions of forgiveness? Our believing in the possibility of forgiveness works both ways. If we believe that human forgiveness is possible, then forgiveness from God is certain, because God is perfect. And in order for us to believe that we are truly forgiven and reconciled people, truly forgiven by God and given the chance again for the right relationship, we must also believe in the possibility of human forgiveness, reconciliation in human relationships. We learn from the example of Christ. We wronged God by being sinful. And then God in the flesh comes to earth and says, I forgive you. I forgive you so much that I'm going to sacrifice my life for you. The thing is, it's all good and well to talk about forgiveness. But how realistic is forgiveness in our lives? The reason that we can't just forgive and move on is because there are consequences to sins. We have to react when somebody wrongs us, right? It's natural. When somebody does something to us that hurts, trust is tested and sometimes lost. And new standards are set. So how can we erase the damage that sin does? Does saying you're forgiven make everything better in your experience? I mean, it's a nice thing to say, and maybe it takes some of the pressure off, but it doesn't fix everything. Can forgiveness undo September 11th, 2001? That's something that's always going to be. And those people that actually lost loved ones are always going to experience that pain. Does it fix all the hurts in your life? I think we know that it doesn't. But yet, forgiveness means to cancel a debt. Like in the parable, to count debt is no longer owed. The king, who was owed 20 years' worth of wages, just canceled it because the slave asked for forgiveness. And the Lord's Prayer reminds us, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's the underlying meaning behind that line in the Lord's Prayer. As God has forgiven us, we are also called to forgive others. And he doesn't put a standard on that. He doesn't say forgive them unless they go beyond this line. If they ask, you shall forgive. Sin results in a debt owed from the one who has sinned against you. So if I do something that hurt you, I do something that harms you or takes something away from you, I owe you a debt. And when I ask for forgiveness, our responsibility as followers of Christ to use that narrative that Christ gives us to replace the other narratives of the world is to forgive that debt, to erase it, to make it clean. So how's the sin paid for then if debt is canceled? Where's the sense of responsibility? What happens to a person's accountability when they don't have to pay for sin? These are the things that run through our heads, right? Because we're human, we think like that. Well, that's not fair. He did that thing that hurt me so bad, and now he doesn't have to pay for it? How does that work? And it's these questions that keep us struggling with the issues of sin and forgiveness. We want to know what we're getting into. What we're agreeing to before we sign on the dotted line, before we say, I forgive you, we want to know what that means. I forgive you, but you're still going to do something to make it better, right? We want to get what's coming to us. And we also want to know what God expects from us. If God is offering forgiveness to us, how can we forgive? How can God forgive? When we look back at the gospel lesson for today, there's something in the parable that I want to point out. The king is prepared to hold the slave accountable until something important happens. The slave asks for patience, for mercy, and for a second chance. He repented. Do you know what the word repent means? It means to do this. Literally, it means to turn 180 degrees and walk in the other direction. The slave was saying, I know that I've done wrong. I know that I owe you. And I'm going to make it right. And just in that act, he doesn't have to pay back the money. He doesn't have to, you know, have his family sold into slavery and have all his possessions sold. Just the fact that he was willing to do what it took to make sure that that money was repaid was enough for the king. And he said, you know what? I forgive you. So we have to ask ourselves, where has forgiveness been asked in our lives? If we ask God for forgiveness, the answer is always yes, if we're willing to repent and walk the other way. But what about when people ask forgiveness of us? Is the answer always yes? Is there a limit to our forgiveness? Is there only so many times where somebody can do something wrong, maybe the same thing over and over again, before we just put our foot down and say, you know what? I can't do it anymore. Sometimes we even question the genuineness of the repentance. When somebody's asked you a fourth and a fifth or a sixth time to forgive them for that same thing, we start to think, you're not really sorry. You're just saying that because you know that last time I forgave you, and you're going to do it again tomorrow. We lose sight of what this person's trying to do. And perhaps we're right in doing that. Maybe some people just never learn. But is it our job, is it our responsibility to make that decision? To decide that that person's had enough forgiveness? Sometimes we cross the line in asking in the sincerity to questioning the deservedness of forgiveness. And that isn't our job. None of us are qualified to make that judgment call on whether or not someone deserves to be forgiven. Only God can read people's hearts. And remember what I said about willpower? None of us have the willpower to force forgiveness from ourselves. So why should we expect someone else to have the willpower to stop doing this thing that they're used to doing? It's only through the grace of God. They operate under the same grace we do. We're given a reminder, even as we pray the familiar words, God forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. God asks for us to share with others the same forgiveness that he offers to us. Is it easy work? Ask Peter. We want a standard. We want God to say, all right, if you've done it 7 times and they still mess up, you're done with them. And that's what Peter expected. But that's not the case. Jesus says, all right, 7 times 70. God promises us that practicing forgiveness is life-giving, where withholding forgiveness only hurts us. It builds up that anxiety and that festering feeling in you. And pretty soon the lack of desire to forgive turns to hate. And in some cases, in some people's hearts, that's the result of what today's anniversary is, hate. And I don't think God wants that in any situation. There's so much in this world to forgive, and so much for which we need to seek forgiveness. In the grander scheme of the big picture of life in 9/11 and all the other things that are going on, and in the smaller picture, in our families, in our friendships, in our church congregation, there's hurts that need to be forgiven. So we struggle and we try harder to both forgive those who have sinned against us and to ask for forgiveness. But again, it's only through the grace of God. And I really pushed the idea of God's grace being able to be understood more and more the more we spend time with God. And I want to highlight that again today. It's not something that you can wake up tomorrow morning and just say, you know what, today God's grace is going to make sense to me, and I'm just going to forgive people. It doesn't work like that. We have to spend time getting to know the God who loves us. Reading his word, spending time with him in prayer, spending time in silence and letting him speak into our lives. And as a result, the changes will start being made. Those narratives that life has written for us will start to change into the narratives of Christ. We'll start to see the fruits of the Spirit. To close today, I want to play a video of a song by a man named Chris August. And the song's called 7x70. And the story behind this video is Chris August, who is a pretty prominent Christian artist, he's up and coming in the world of Christian music, had a rough upbringing. He grew up in a broken home. And I watched the video that kind of goes with this music video, and he shares that he grew up in the same house his entire life. And his exact words were, "This is the house I learned to throw a baseball in, house I learned to ride a bike around, and the house that I watched my family fall apart in." And he had to struggle through forgiving. And he goes to his producer, and he thinks he's done with the album, and he turns in all of his songs, and his producer's looking down the list, and he's like, "Well, you've got a song about that, song about that, song about that." He said, "You don't have a personal song." And he says, the producer was kind of kidding, and he told me to go home and write about what hurt me the most as a child. So I kind of chuckled, and I went home, and I came back with this song. And the message of this song couldn't mean more than it does today. There are some things that seem like they're beyond forgiving. And yet God tells us, my grace is enough. So let's watch this video, and when it's over, we'll enter into our time of open worship. I would encourage you this morning, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you in any way, please share that. This is a time for us to minister to one another. This is a time where something that you might have to say would speak directly into someone's life, and it might be exactly what they need to hear. So let us be sensitive to God's Spirit this morning. And when all hearts are clear, I'll come up and close in prayer.
I've been living in this house here since the day that I was born. These walls have seen me happy, but most of all they've seen me torn. They've heard the screaming matches that made a family fall apart. They've had a front row seat to the breaking of my heart. 7x70 times, I'll do what it takes to make it right. I thought the pain was here to stay, but forgiveness made a way. for someone to notice me. I felt alone and undiscovered and old enough to understand. Just when I'm supposed to be learning to love you, let me down again. 7 times, 70 times, I'll do what it takes to make it right. I thought the pain was here to stay, but forgiveness made a way. 70 times, if that's the cost, I'll pay the price. 7 times, 70 times, I'll do what it takes to make it right. I thought the pain was here to stay, but forgiveness made a way. 7 times, 70 times, there's healing in this house tonight. I'm reaching out. Since the day that I was born.
The words in that song, I thought the pain was here to stay, but forgiveness made a way. And I think a lot of people still have a lot of pain in their hearts from the tragedy of 9/11. The forgiveness paves the way to healing. And he goes on to say, there's healing in the air tonight. And I think that I've made that point many times during the sermon, but I just want to reiterate it one more time. Healing is not something that we can manifest. It's a result of God's grace in our lives. Difficult, yes. Impossible, no. I'd like to ask if we could stand and close with the Lord's Prayer this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Lord, forgive us our trespasses and fill us with your strength, your grace, and your mercy to forgive those who trespass against us, Lord. Lord, brokenness and hurt are hard things to deal with, and they create things like anger and hate within us. But brokenness and hurt also give us opportunity for healing. Help us to choose that path. To seek after you daily. And Lord, to experience that eventual healing that comes with that. To get us to a place where we can say, I forgive you to those who hurt us. We love you, Jesus, and pray these things in your name.